Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, September 5th, 2021. I'm Mimi Burris. And guys, this week, a lot of good stuff to talk about in wrestling. We're going to get into all of it. And obviously, tonight is All Out in Chicago. CM Punk making his in-ring return after 7 flipping years. Not to mention, we got Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander, Miro versus Eddie Kingston, a great 10-man tag on the buy-in, Casino Battle Royale for the women, and so much more. Kenny Omega, Christian Cage, obviously, a lot to look forward to tonight. And so if you're listening to this after you've watched All Out, I hope you enjoyed the pay-per-view. Wild to see, right? Who would have ever thought John Cena in AEW? I mean, this show was I'm kidding, obviously. But yes, we're going to get into this week in wrestling, all the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between right after this.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce.
Oh! Dog food! He's covered in dog food!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Barely know! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
You know, guys, every time I put that intro in here, I always think it's probably time for a new one. It's very outdated. A lot of that stuff is Performance Center, Thunderdome things, and Daily's Place, obviously. And we are in a totally different position now, obviously, with, you know, pandemic pending, obviously. Hopefully everybody's wearing their masks, getting vaccinated, all that good stuff, to make sure that we don't ever have to be back in the Thunderdome or anything like that ever again. WWE doesn't really care about that anyways, though. They continue to put in crowd noise either way. So here we are, though, guys, this week in wrestling. I thought, for the most part, there was a lot of good stuff to talk about and some hidden gems, for sure. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk about NXT, Dynamite, Rampage, SmackDown, all the like, as always. But yeah, I figure we start with our low for the week this week, and then we can get into all the positive stuff I absolutely want to talk about. So I don't think there was a lot of stuff that was too in-your-face awful this week, guys. I'm going to be honest. I mean, of course, there was Raw, and we're going to get into that. But I do want to mention really quickly, because this is what I considered to be the low for the week, but then I really thought about it, and we're going to get into our official low. But I do want to quickly give this an honorable mention, because what the f*** is QT Marshall and Big Show taking up 20 minutes of Dynamite, and Billy Gunn, the big Seth Rollins shield turn on Big Show, Paul White, excuse me. AEW has this problem, man, where they just allotted time to the worst things and way too much of it. And not to mention, guys, they, like, why couldn't all of that time that's being allotted to a Billy Gunn and a QT Marshall and Paul White and stuff be allotted to, I don't know, another women's match and all that stuff? You guys have heard me talk about all this stuff before. It is nothing new. It's just getting a little bit difficult to watch. There's some clear nepotism. And again, I talked about this with Ashley on the Dynamite review show and the All Out prediction show. If you guys didn't listen to that, go listen to that, obviously. I don't care if you already watched All Out. Ashley's great. And I always love hearing her perspective, and I know a lot of you guys do too, so go listen to that. But I talked about this a lot, and so I won't go into it too much, but yeah, I don't know what a better word for it is, if it's nepotism or if it's something else, but clearly, like, some people are getting allotted a lot of time on Dynamite, not necessarily because they're all elite, but probably because they have some say in the back, and I'm getting pretty sick of it, so just wanted to make a quick mention there. But yeah, guys, your official low for the week, I'm sure you could have called it. And I hate giving her the low for the week because I absolutely adore her as a professional wrestler. But your official low for the week is going to none other than Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax on Monday Night Raw. But a lot of rumors going around about this after the match. From what I understand, it wasn't like a shoot fight. They didn't just get irritated with each other or whatever. They kind of forgot and lost their footing, and it sounds like that's what happened. I've heard people saying Charlotte didn't want to do the job. I say screw you to anybody who says that. I can almost bet my bottom dollar, which is not a lot, on that. Charlotte is a professional, and the fact that she's working with Nia Jax nonetheless shows that. But really, this is going to be our low for the week because, yeah, you're, you know, let me give them a positive, I guess, before we get into why this was so awful. The women did do their best to remain professionals. And what that means is if there was some kind of issue in the match, during the match, and something went wrong, they still got the job done at the end of it. Charlotte still took the deathly-looking powerbomb, super unsafe-looking powerbomb nonetheless, and you know, got pinned for the 1-2-3. So that's my positive. The negative is that Charlotte got pinned for the 1-2-3. Her first match as women's champion, by the way. All of the champions, apparently you win a championship and then you just start losing matches. I guess that's the new thing in WWE. But yes, Nia Jax pins your champion on her first match after winning the title, because that makes a lot of sense. You know, I know Charlotte Flair gets a lot of crap, guys, and people talk about the Roman Reigns treatment and all this other stuff. I'd venture to say that Charlotte Flair is 10 times the wrestler in the ring that Roman Reigns has ever been. Absolutely, Roman Reigns has hit his stride promo-wise and all this other stuff, but he's still... I mean, there's a lot of talking in the ring, but professional wrestling-wise, the natural ability that that woman has is second to none, and I say that on this show all the time. So yeah, guys, I doubt it had anything to do with her not wanting to do the job, and what I really think is that, yeah, she doesn't get the Roman Reigns treatment, she didn't get the John Cena's treatment, she's just that damn good, and yeah, roll with that. If the crowd hates her, roll with that. Keep her as this heel. Keep her as a dominant heel. Don't put her in a heel versus a heel match, but I guess everybody's kind of a heel in WWE, so don't put her in a heel versus heel match, which, again, is another negative knock on this whole thing. And yet, don't have her be pinned. Have her be dominant, annoyingly dominant, and then you get someone like a Becky Lynch back in the day, or whoever else. I'm trying to think of, even if Alexa Bliss stopped doing this stuff with the doll, which is, again, subjectively, I am not for. But you get some up-and-comer, right, who gets to beat her, like Rhea Ripley probably should have at WrestleMania, or even Asuka at WrestleMania. And then you don't, it's like a big moment. You get the dominant champion to lose to the new up-and-comer, and then you do it all over again. That's how these things work. That's how whoever ends up beating Roman Reigns eventually is going to get, like, put over to the moon because he's been so dominant. That's just a formula in wrestling that works every single time, so... And, you know, all that being said, guys, this is WWE. I'm used to championships meaning nothing anymore, titles meaning nothing, champions meaning nothing. Holding the title is really just a curse at this point. I don't know if they're trying to get Charlotte Flair to beat her dad's reign because they're mad that her dad is appearing in AAA. I don't really know exactly what's going on. But nonetheless, guys, champion gets pinned. We talked about all that, so I'm not really surprised at that point. The real reason I really wanted to talk about this is Nia Jax, guys, I know she gets a lot of flack, and you know what? Probably deservedly so. Not all of it. Some people are just mean-spirited, and I don't, I try to come on this podcast, and I'm genuinely not really a mean-spirited person, or I wouldn't consider myself one. So, I'm not coming on here just to knock on Nia Jax for being Nia Jax. Listen, I think Nia Jax, a lot of her political views are stupid, and this... Personally, as a human, right, I think there's a lot of things about Nia Jax that I don't agree with. Let me put it that way. However, the wrestler Nia Jax is the reason we're on this podcast to talk about her, not because of her political views or any of that stuff. And realistically, guys, there is just a pattern of the fact that she's an unsafe wrestler. She is unsafe to be in the ring with. And this is not the first time, obviously, this has happened. This has happened so many times. And the people that thing that people refer to most, because it's probably most recently in our mind, is the Kairi Sane match back in the Performance Center. I don't know if you guys remember that. Essentially, Kairi Sane's like entire forehead, I think, got busted open. And the reason why is, right, when you lead, I'm not, let me also preface, by the way, with I am not a professional wrestler. I've never taken a bump. I've never taken a bump, and I'm not going to act like I have, or I understand what that's like, and I want to make that clear as well, because I do, I have a respect, or a certain amount of respect for the people who actually put their bodies on the line, which is something I have never done. However, right, I think I'd like to consider myself knowledgeable enough, and done enough research, and I've been to wrestling schools, by the way, and seen, obviously, the way the teaching goes, and listened to a lot of people. Of course, I'm sure most of us who are listening to this podcast have wanted to be professional wrestlers at one point in our life, just like I wanted to be the first female MLB baseball player. Why? I don't know. But we all have those dreams when we're younger. And so I'd like to think that I'm somewhat knowledgeable, but I also don't claim to be a professional wrestler. So take all of this stuff, or know anything about... know nearly as much as they all do, obviously. I just know from what I've heard and what I've learned and what I've seen. And so take all this with a grain of salt and that grain of salt. But when Kairi Sane, when Nia Jax faced Kairi Sane and she threw her into the steel steps, you're not supposed to legitimately throw the person into the steel steps. If you go and watch the stuff carefully, you can see it with safe workers. You're supposed to guide the person where they're supposed to go. You're not supposed to nail them into the steel, because that's steel, right? And that's obviously why that thing happened with Kairi Sane. I'm going to point out one example from this match that clearly shows that just Nia Jax has no idea what the heck she's doing, right? There was a spot in the match when she was doing a backdrop of some sort, or it was a, excuse me, it was like a back suplex, belly to back suplex. And when you do that, you're supposed to fall back with the wrestler, obviously. You fall on your back and they fall on their back and you have their back against your belly. You throw them over you and you're landing on your back. You're taking the bump with the person. I don't know if Nia Jax is just winded in the match, and that's not a shot at her weight or anything. It's just a cardio thing. Look at Samoa Joe is a bigger guy, and that man has some better cardio in the ring, or at least had some better cardio in the ring than a lot of wrestlers today that look like your Mike Awesomes and Chris Masters. I don't know why those two came to mind. I couldn't think of a single current wrestler. Karrion Kross, whatever. It's not a shot at anything like that, guys. She, again, I'm speculating. I don't know, but it seemed like she must have been winded or something, because she just dropped Charlotte on her shoulder and she lands so dangerously. And that is only one of the many spots in this match that just looked unsafe. I mentioned before that power bomb, the way Charlotte Flair's head nailed against the canvas. Even watch Omos. It's Omos, right? Yes, Omos. When he slams those guys down, if you can go watch at WrestleMania or any of his more recent matches, his match with John Morrison, which also, by the way, should be considered a low of the week, because, yeah, let's build up John Morrison. How should we have him be built up? Oh, he'll just lose to Omos in a couple seconds. Anyways, he guides them down. He doesn't slam them down, right? It's because it looks good, yeah, but it's unsafe. And the only thing, again, things I've heard, the only thing or the most important thing when you're in the ring with somebody is that you trust the person you're wrestling. You're putting your life in your hands and they're putting theirs in yours. And so watching all that stuff, I'm thinking, God, Charlotte Flair is not getting paid enough for this. The clothesline that she hit to Rhea Ripley, you are not supposed to hit somebody on the side of the head. You can hit them flush on the back or flush on the front. You're not supposed to hit them on the side of the head. That's how you get neck problems, concussions, all that other jazz. Completely blindsided her, nailed Rhea Ripley, right? And then had Rhea Ripley's head hit off the rope, ricochet. No ricochet in this match, just she ricocheted. And yeah, she did the same exact thing to Charlotte in this match too. Two in one night, guys. Side of the head, nailed her. So many spots that were just unsafe in this match. And if Charlotte Flair did just start to get pissed off and it wasn't just like, you know, they lost their footing or whatever, you know what? Good, because someone needs to show Nia Jax that you can't work like that. The only reason I believe that she's still employed is because of her family, or because she looks different, or because Vince McMahon is just stupid and continues to allow. And not only is she employed, guys, she is being pushed to the top. She just pinned your women's world champion, right? She just pinned the women's world champion, and she is just unsafe to be in the ring with. You know, it is only a matter of time. Thank God Charlotte Flair got out okay. The good news is, guys, is we're getting this match again on Raw this week, so look forward to that. Or we might, because Raw has been promoting matches for the last couple weeks and then just not giving us them. For example, Sheamus Bobby Lashley was supposed to happen this week. I'm not complaining. We got a much better match instead of that, because again, you know, heel versus heel, love that. WWE just seems to love that. But with all that being said, guys, yeah, this was just unsafe. Nia Jax is unsafe, and you'd hate to see someone like Charlotte Flair, who's so naturally gifted's career be shortened by somebody who doesn't know how to wrestle and is continuously being pushed in these big spots when she obviously clearly can't handle them. Again, I don't know if she was winded. I don't know if she just still doesn't know her power. I think we used that excuse a while ago for her, and it's not an excuse anymore. She's been on, you know, Raw, SmackDown for about 4 years now. She's got to get her stuff together, man. So that is your low for the week, guys, and we will get into your high for the week. A couple things I do want to mention, though. NXT, for the most part, was kind of blah. Really, just you could tell these shows are taped, but I did really like that main event, and I want to give it all the credit in the world with Tommaso Ciampa and Ridge Holland. Those guys beat the crap out of each other safely, would you believe it? You know, they beat the crap out of each other safely, so I do want to make a quick mention to that. And now, moving on over to AEW, I thought AEW Dynamite was a much better show this week than it was last week. I did already complain and mention about the Big Show QT Marshall crap. But I thought Brian Cage and Powerhouse Hobbs put on a I don't know why the word cute came to my mind. An intense, very short match, but they did beat the crap out of each other, and it's absolutely entertaining. That match between Jurassic Express and the Lucha Bros versus the Elite was just fun to watch. CM Punk has always cut a great promo. I thought the women had a great match. Ty Conti and Penelope Ford. overall, I really did enjoy. And the MJF interview and the Chris Jericho interview were great. MJF, to me, better than Chris Jericho's. But, you know, MJF is just a wizard on the microphone lately. Same goes for Rampage, guys. The main event on Rampage I thought was awesome with Daniel Garcia and Darby Allin. And then CM Punk doing the taking the headset off spot and the crowd going wild. I like that opening match with Malakai Black and Lee Johnson. I think they gave it just the right amount of time. And yeah, I mean, for the most part, SmackDown was SmackDown. I thought Bianca Belair held her own on the microphone this week. I thought it was one of her best performances, so that was great. And we had the Universal Championship match between Roman Reigns and Finn Balor, and that was kind of what you expected it was going to be. But it was a great match in Finn Balor. What do you expect? It's just an incredible performer, so... Nonetheless, though, guys, I'm going to, believe it or not, give you a high for the week. We're going to jump right back over to Raw, and this triple threat deserves a high for the week because these three guys, the high for the week is Sheamus versus Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre for the United States Championship in Damian Priest's kind of open challenge thing. There's a lot of negatives about this match, and most of them are just like how we got here. Basically, Drew McIntyre came out and, like, buried the fact that we just do rematch after rematch after rematch in WWE, so I'm glad he sees it, and somebody said it, but, yeah, they beat the crap out of each other. Sheamus and Drew McIntyre in a match, we always get an amazing match, and Damian Priest held his own as well. Somehow, guys, I feel like Damian Priest has been Teflon to all of this crap scripting and booking for WWE. Somehow he's still over with the crowd, and power to him for that. So yeah, I mean, there's not much to say about this match, guys, positively, other than they threw amazing spots. I loved that avalanche spot and the turnbuckle. I thought they came to it very organically. Sheamus with those knees always looks awesome, and we got a bunch of great near falls. And I liked, you know, that Damian Priest got the pinfall on Drew McIntyre. Damian Priest pinned former WWE champion Drew McIntyre. Why this match wasn't advertised, I don't know. Maybe because Vince McMahon rips up the script every Monday and they do it all over again, and that's why anything they advertise doesn't actually happen. But, you know, these guys only had probably a matter of hours at most to put together this incredible match, and this is what they do. It's credit to having amazing talent, terrible backstage people, but incredible talent that can just whip together a match like this out of nowhere. So that is your high for the week, guys. For the most part, I enjoyed this week in wrestling. You know, I'm really still, as always, struggling to watch a lot of this WWE product, but I'm in a better mood than usual because All Out is just a few hours away, and I can't wait to get in front of my TV, get my popcorn, get whatever, get leftovers out, and enjoy CM Punk back in the ring after 7 years and so much more. So, with all that being said, guys, let me give you a random match recommendation for the week, which is none other than Just Christian versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship in a no-holds-barred match at SummerSlam 2011. Shout out to Christian Cage again, who is challenging Kenny Omega for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship tonight. He's probably not winning, but it's going to be a great match nonetheless for those who just like a pure, great, slowly built, you know, to a nice crescendo at the end of the match, wrestling fans, just pure pro wrestling fans. So I'm excited for it. And Christian, this is one of Christian's best matches in WWE. Obviously, he didn't get nearly enough time to shine towards the end of his career there. But the guy knows how to build a match like nobody else. So I'm excited for tonight, and go check this match out again. Christian versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship at a no holds barred match, SummerSlam 2011. I actually just watched this match back maybe a month ago, and I was thinking about it. So that is your random match recommendation for the week, guys. That is all from me, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. I will talk to you on the All Out Dynamite review, and then, All Out review show, and then on the Dynamite review show as well, and then we'll be back here again on the highs and lows of the week. Make sure you check out all the other shows we got here, the NXT review, the Raw review, the Weekend review, the SmackDown review. There's a lot going on here on the WWE podcast, a bunch of great co-hosts, so make sure you're checking out all of those shows. And if you're not already subscribed to us on Patreon, it's $1 a month, and you get all of this stuff ad-free, or you can subscribe on iTunes for $2.99 a month. Whatever suits your fancy, we got it, and I hate ads, so I totally understand it. It's a pretty practical purchase, guys. I'm subscribed on Patreon to this, so it's $1 a month. Even I can afford it, and that's saying something. So, hope you, like I said, guys, I hope you all have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon.